This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome to WHM Mailbag, loyal listeners. This is the show where, of course, we read fan correspondence, questions, weird stories, a lot of gross shit.
Oh, cool. The electronic mailman just delivered this.
That's right.
We're doing the loyal listener thing. So if you've ever listened to another podcast, you have to turn this off now.
That's
so
true. Yes.
It's only for loyal listeners.
Good call. Thank you for your loyalty.
But what we have noticed, by the way, is a lot of people just saying, oh, my God, the mailbag is so fucking funny. It's just as good as the show. Here's the deal, man. You got to tell other people that. Spread the word about the mailbag.
You know, people don't listen. You know, this is a little inside baseball, but people don't listen to the mailbags as much as they do the regular show. So tell people that the mailbags are good.
Look, all you need to do is embarrass yourself for our pleasure.
Yeah, that's right.
So email us your embarrassing stories and we'll read them. And you know,
why don't we just
You can use fake names, I think.
Yes.
Do
whatever the fuck you want, man.
Fan in Cincinnati. You don't have to be Sam.
Well, in the last mailbag that we do, which I think is in 2 years from now, we've got it scheduled, we will be giving away your email
address.
That's right.
True.
Yeah, we've been collecting them all this entire time.
The
show is ending in 2019.
That girl who shit herself, her name, and then we're going to go through the whole thing.
We're going to say the whole email address. Whole thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Chris Cabin, why don't you start us off here?
Okay. Our mushrooms.
No, it's just mushrooms. I messed up making this thing.
Real mushrooms.
Hey, gang. Just wanted to share a quick story about the first time my now wife, girlfriend at the time, did mushrooms.
Upgrade. Right. You did it.
Ooh, doing shrooms.
Okay. It was the summer of 1992, and we decided it would be okay to do mushrooms and be in public.
Wrong. All right.
Wrong indeed.
Yeah, probably, but you know what? Stay home with some Christmas
lights.
Maybes,
depends. Okay. We ate them in the parking lot of Busch Gardens in Tampa.
Oh, my God. All right, you know what? Yes, be in public is one thing. Be in public at a fucking amusement park
Busch
is a whole
Gardens
different
is
thing.
A hell of another thing. Ooh,
in Tampa, you're going to wind up like Marlon Wayans at the end of fucking Requiem for a Dream. Some, like, southern work farm.
Well, the next three words are my nightmare. Okay. I love roller coasters.
Oh, Jesus, buddy.
But I have never been more terrified in my life.
Oh, you don't say.
My girlfriend was terrified as well. She also thought the giraffes were talking to her and complimenting her on her early 90s Guns N' Roses t-shirt.
Which, in fairness to her, I believe a giraffe would make such a compliment.
Possible. An amusement park in normal circumstances is enough to give you a panic attack on a good day.
Yep. No, I don't. I'm not going to set foot in one of those.
No, man, those fucking germ cesspools. Are you kidding me?
It's the heat. It's the line. It's the kid that's screaming
behind. The kids.
And it's like, oh, did I buy the fast pass, the super fast pass or whatever? I mean, I've gone to some amusement parks. I love amusement parks, baby, but it's a certain thing.
But here's what I need. I need an amusement park to tell me, hey, man, on Thursday afternoon, between 1 and 4:30 p.m., there are no children allowed in this amusement park.
Oh, Adult Swim.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Blow a whistle and it's Adult Swim time.
Welcome to Adult Amusement Park.
Yeah, see, that's...
Actually, I like this idea a lot. Now I'll go.
Those adults would ruin it immediately.
Yes. Oh, wait. A funhouse, huh?
Oh, it's a funhouse mirror.
Wow.
Yeah, because it turns into an orgy immediately.
Yes, anytime you put it, that's the problem with the word adult. It just has orgy in parentheses. Yep.
Everybody just public sex
has to be fucking.
All right, go on with the fucking.
And I couldn't tell you how it was in the middle, but when we finally came down, we swore we would never do them again.
Right.
You've been there.
Yeah.
We did eventually do them again.
Yep.
Been there.
But that is a story for another email. Any of you have any being in public weirded out high stories? I've told a few. great show as always, Chris in Kansas City. P.S. Any plans to do a show here or within driving distance? Kansas City, that wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, as always, man, you know, send us venue recommendations. Our tour dates are amping up. We're able to do more and more throughout the year. But, you know, it's always a fucking crapshoot, man.
You never know.
Yeah, we're trying, you know. Patreon.com/we hate movies
There you go.
Would help us do more road dates if you support the show.
Yeah, I intelligently never did mushrooms walking around in public, thankfully, because that's just terrifying to me. But I have had many encounters in public. As a teen, I thought I was above the law. Like,
As most teenagers do.
We would smoke pot around my friend's neighborhood. Just like smoke.
And this is the Bronx, Colorado.
The Bronx, Colorado, where we were. And we would just like, we would always be afraid, like, oh my God, I think that guy knows my dad or whatever. Put it down. And like, you're in the middle of the street with cops everywhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
One time, this was at our alma mater. Mm-hmm. It was the spring fling weekend. We decided we were going to have some fun. Steve's brother was visiting.
That's always a recipe for disaster.
Always a great time when Mark Zadak's involved, friend of the show. He's been on a few times. And
Sober as a jailbird, that Mark Zadak.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I'm not speaking of
that. He's not here to defend himself. No.
Sober as a jailbird. This has nothing to do with him. He wasn't even there. I was lying.
He only goes to Colorado.
Yeah. We had some tall glasses of water, and we decided we were going to go out. They rent all these like carny rides and whatnot.
Oh, I know this.
So we go. We're like, oh man, it's going to be great. Let's go on the fucking Ferris wheel. And so we're all pairing off, and I'm sitting with a buddy of mine, and it was the first time ever he had consumed a tall glass of water ever. So we're sitting on this cart. And they do the thing that's obnoxious with Ferris wheels, but like whatever, you have to do it this way. When you're letting people off, you got to go like cart by cart.
Yeah.
So, you know, we start like we do the ride and it's fine. And then he starts freaking out and he's like, oh no, my body's heating up. My body's heating up. And I'm sitting there like, what? We're on a Ferris wheel. What are you talking about? And he starts screaming and he's like, I'm on fire. I'm on fucking fire. And this dude is just yelling. And this is like, it's a state school spring fling, so it wasn't the biggest Ferris wheel. Yeah.
Dude, these carnies were never seen again.
No. Well, so I'm looking. So then it starts getting to me, and I'm like, well, I know he's not on fire, but I know also.
Maybe I am.
That he's making a scene. And then, so then I look down and I look at this carny that's operating this fucking Ferris wheel, and in my head, I start going, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck, this guy's an undercover cop. Oh, man, this dude's an undercover cop, man.
No, that dude has killed undercover cops.
Yeah, he's part of the biker gang that murders undercover cops.
I don't know,
cops.
Man. Coming this fall, Jeff Fahey, undercover carny.
I would fucking season pass that shit.
Dude, yeah. Six seasons in a movie.
That's please. An Amazon. It's next to Bosch. It's you need a big, Saturdays.
A big horn intro for that.
Fucking totally.
He's working the carny circuit.
Oh,
like,
man, this would be a great show.
Trademark it.
Then we got off the Ferris wheel and nobody gave a shit because it was a fucking carny pulling a lever.
Yes.
I got a little story. I don't. Chris Cabin may have been in the background and he might have perspective on this too.
Sure.
But I remember
Chris Cabin was a featured extra.
Well,
in the story.
I was living with him at the time in Astoria, Queens, Colorado.
Oh, it was a huge mistake.
I was really on something at the time.
Sure.
And it was tall glasses of water.
Sure.
And then we went to the 7-Eleven in Astoria, Queens, Colorado on 30th Avenue.
Oh, right.
Yes.
And I remember I was buying something, probably like a drink or something. We were out in public, and we remember, which was a mistake. And this dude gives, like, I don't realize he's given me the change back, so I just keep handing it back to him. And he takes it and then he hands it back to me, and this goes on for like three times, to the point where the cashier at this 7-Eleven starts laughing in my face.
Yeah.
Because he knows I'm so fucked up. And eventually I realized, like, once he started laughing at me, I was like, okay, I'm just gonna walk away from this situation.
Was this the one where were you getting a slushie?
Yes,
I was there.
Yes, because this was your fucking plan. Because Chris Cabin's always just like, we're getting fucked up, and dude, there might be slushies. We might be going out for slushies.
Here's the problem.
You got to fucking make change on your own.
You took 5 minutes deciding which slushie to get.
Well, it's an important
decision. Like, just stared at it.
Do you remember the flavor I got?
I don't think it was cherry.
Stay away from those Crystal Light ones. That's poison.
No way, I would rather like play death chess in fucking the Seven Seal rather than go to a 7-Eleven while messed up. You know what I mean?
Like,
it's an intense situation. There's bright lights. Everyone's looking at you.
It's like a hospital light.
And everyone's like, why are you doing that wrong? And I'm like, why did I do it wrong?
Listen, here's your first fucking mistake. Using cash money.
Dude, yeah.
That's a silent debit card transaction if I ever heard
one. Keep headphones in. There are ways to bypass all of this.
Constantly wear sunglasses no matter what the time of day.
I will tell this story. So the same math teacher in high school, we got stoned in my minivan.
Sure.
Almost every morning. Albany, New York, Colorado. And we'd hotbox the whole thing. So if I wore a hoodie, it would just cling to it.
Well, yeah.
That's what science is like.
Ooh.
But after
Neil Tyson.
After many, many times. So it would just get like kind of kicked in there.
Yeah. Sure.
So one day I'm in math class, same math class where my friend tipped his desk over and almost killed himself. This math teacher comes up to me, takes a piece of my hoodie, bends down and just goes.
Was he trying to get a contact?
And then, let it go and just, waved at me with his finger.
Yeah, he knew.
The finger thing means the weed smoking.
And I felt like I was having a heart attack.
Sure.
For the rest of the day. I just was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dead.
You're waiting to get swatted when you get home.
Oh, mercy. All right, Eric Sisko.
WHM mailbag, my father, the Marine, at the release of Flags of Our Fathers.
This sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah. Greetings, WHM crew. I love hearing about everyone's awkward and shameful movie theater experiences, since so many of my own formative moments can be traced back to the specific movies and movie theater outings. So, all right. Here's a story of my own. Well, I hope so. From the terrible year of 2006, which is terrible.
Well, not me, but a guy I know.
Right.
When I was 16.
I am the story thief.
You stole my story. When I was 16 years old, I was going to see Flags of Our Fathers on opening weekend with my own father, the intimidating Marine.
Ooh, John Cena stars in the intimidating Marine.
No, John Cena's dead.
I can relate to this because
Wilbur Cena.
My father was also in the Marine Corps.
And, shit.
He's got his tastes. My dad and I don't have a lot in common other than our enjoyment for both movies and history, so Flags of Our Father seemed like a great idea at the onset. Flash forward to opening night, and to my horror, my father takes the seat two chairs down from me, leaving an ever-confusing gay panic, we're not together, seat between us.
Oh, what?
Man. I don't know if anyone's going to think that, but...
Yeah, I mean that's crazy.
But it is stupid to go to the movie theaters and be like, oh, we need a buffer space. Unless you're going to an afternoon showing.
Exactly.
Yeah. If it's empty,
opening night.
Yeah.
Usually I'll have that buffer, but no, we'll condense if it gets kind of crazy.
Sure.
Yeah. But, I don't even like the buffer, man. Just fucking get right up on me, man. We're watching a movie together.
Yeah, I want to be nudged. Smell you.
I kinda wanna be nudged every so often.
Totally.
Say a little comment.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Give me a nudge.
So, and to make things worse, he sets his popcorn in the middle seat to signify that no human shall be using it.
Come on, Sergeant, or whatever your rank was.
As the theater filled, I began to squirm with the dread at the thought of someone calling us out for taking an extra seat.
Oh, that panic. I know that
panic. I know that panic, too. Like, when I'm just like, all right, it's getting dark soon, right? All right? Everyone's here, right? We could just fucking watch this movie. I don't have to worry about someone coming and sitting down next to me. Knowing full well that my dad wouldn't back down and would most likely cause a scene, well, lo and behold, another angry old man shows up and asks my dad to move over one. Not gonna do it, was his reply.
He Herbert Walker'd him?
Yep. The man quickly became irate after a few feeble, come on, buddy. And... what's the problem here? Yield him no results from my stoic father. Quickly, more and more people were beginning to tense up and stare at these two angry ass old men arguing over seating while I'm attempting to ignore the escalating situation and hope that no one realizes my familial connection to the whole fiasco.
See, this is where the buffer's actually paying off for this kid.
Right? You're like, I'm not with him. Finally, my dad stands up, his feet planted, eyes blazing with the resolve, and a finger pointed directly at me, and he shouts, "I'm a goddamn Marine, and I'm watching this movie with my son!" Instantly, deep horror crept over me as everyone turned to look at my chubby, acne-ridden 16-year-old face. Keep in mind, no one was trying to stop us from watching the movie.
Agreed.
Only to have a little common courtesy and not take up an extra seat during opening night.
By the way, feel bad for this old man who has to come to Flags of Our Fathers alone.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
He was probably fucking there.
Yes. Exactly.
This movie's about me. Can I sit down? No.
This seat is for my popcorn, you blind old fuck.
I'm watching this movie with my son. My son's name's Popcorn.
I need an invisible chaperone between us.
If you were in a movie theater and you're afraid... I don't know. You know where that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can finish that. The other old man, although almost definitely in the right, was dumbfounded and only let out a few weak grumbles before leaving the theater. I assumed to get an usher, but to my surprise, he never returned. He probably killed himself.
He went out and died. That was the thing.
In the cold. My father's face was a dark shade of red, and he wore a deep scowl for the entire film.
Oh, that's because he was watching Flags of
we
Our Fathers.
We didn't speak on the ride home.
Wow.
I can relate to that.
Yeah, I've been there.
I can fucking relate to that. That's every fucking day with my... Anyway, this shame was so great that to this day, I won't go to the theater with my father unless my mom agrees to join us and fill that shameful and possibly homophobic middle seat. Well, you know, I don't know if your dad... Well, I guess he would know his dad better than I would know his dad.
Yeah, right.
If his dad hates gay people and seeming gay, I guess that would be an issue for him. But I just don't... understand.
Especially if you're a 6-year-old kid, everyone's like, oh, that's a dad with a son. It's a dad movie, by the way.
That's the thing. And I think what...
You're not seeing as existence. It's like, what are these two guys doing here?
No.
Is that movie...
What is that?
That movie's not even that gay, is it?
No, not even quote-unquote gay. I just mean, like, it's a movie like clearly a dad and his son would go see.
This
not
is a dad
the
movie.
The film Existence. Right.
It was like the time I took my dad to see The Majestic.
Yeah,
that's a dad movie.
Exactly.
Now, here's the thing, though, and I think this is something the author of this correspondence doesn't seem to realize, but, dude, I think your dad hates you. I think maybe you have to stop arranging dates with
dad. What's the deodorant situation back in high school, by the way?
But
here's the thing, Guy. All right, and I can speak to experience as having a fellow Marine Corps father. Your dad definitely does hate you.
The last
movie I saw with my father was Saving Private Ryan. Similar circumstance.
Was your dad leaving a buffer or what?
I don't remember. I maybe not, but I definitely wasn't sitting next to him.
He purposely went to a matinee show, so he wasn't worried.
Was he steamed that he couldn't smoke inside?
Yeah, that was part of it.
That
was definitely part of it. Yeah, no, he was. Yeah,
Can I combine the last story with this story?
Sure.
Me and my buddies would get stoned and go watch cool movies on the weekends, brah, doing some wakes and bakes, brah.
Sure.
And we did it Memorial Day weekend, brah, to see Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, you idiot!
That's
like
hilarious.
Almost instantly, we were like, "Oh, this is disrespectful." Eesh. Ooh.
Isn't that Mortal Kombat sequel out or what?
Yeah, like, shouldn't there be an alien in this movie?
Yeah, dude, historical drama's not the way to go.
So that's basically it. He says best wishes and all that.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, dad stories. I mean, like, it's tough.
It is tough, man. That's like having a father's something else, man.
It's really hard, man.
It is hard.
I mean, also, I think just the idea of like trying to gauge your dad's interest in movies. Like, my whole thing was like, dude, my dad is always watching Turner Classic Movies. How cool is that?
Yeah.
All right. You know what I'll do? My dad loves John Wayne. I'll get him a bunch of John Wayne DVDs so my dad doesn't have to wait for them to come on to Turner Classic Movies.
That's a backfire, right?
Man, you want to see a fucking $20 coaster.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll show you a DVD I bought my dad 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
All right. Let's see. Rhino Heart Attack. I like this. I had to write in when I heard Steve state if he saw a rhino in battle and never saw one before, he'd have a heart attack. Mostly because almost this exact event occurred at my friend's and I's screening of 300 when the movie was released.
300 was our 300th episode, by the way.
Right,
there
yeah.
it is.
Pretty recent.
Pretty recent.
We were entering the very montage when the rhino hits the screen for the first time charging. It was this exact point when my friend next to me pointed a few rows below us where an older gentleman had collapsed out of his seat and onto the theater floor, clutching his chest. Ooh! His family frantically rushed around trying to tend to him and call 911. All the while, the cacophony of 300 battle sounds raged around us.
Tonight we dine in hell!
A theater employee ran to the booth and stopped the movie, switching on the lights. The ambulance arrived and took the man away. Unfortunately, Unfortunately, there isn't a happy ending as the man passed away shortly after. We all received vouchers to attend another screening of the film, but didn't use ours for 300 as it felt wrong for some odd reason.
Our arrows will blot out the sun.
So there you have it. Hard evidence of rhinos causing heart attacks at Zack Snyder movies causing chaos. Charlie in Louisville. Oh, my Lord in heaven.
Wow, there you go. You could, yeah, I compiled this one.
That's brutal.
That was a funny email.
That is dark. Yeah.
It sucks, but it happens.
It always sucks. I mean, everyone's got to go. You know what I mean? Like, it's always going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Like, but dying in a movie theater, and it is kind of like very ignominious at the end, is like always like, oh man, did you see that guy had a heart attack during this horror movie? And it's like, well, that's not really, he just had to go at that point.
People have heart attacks in every movie.
Exactly. It's like, this horror movie is so, man, the Blair Witch 2 had a guy have a heart attack and he died. It's like, great, now I'm Blair Witch 2 guy in the afterlife.
Yeah, exactly.
Anubis is fucking me in the ass, calling me Blair Witch 2 guy.
At least this guy got out of there before all that Xerxes. Speaking of gay panic stuff happened.
Yeah, that's true. Here's my thing. I realized the other day, it's funny that this letter comes up. If anything happened to me like that, like in a movie or some kind of situation similar, I definitely would just die because I'm so neurotic about like making a scene in public that I'd be like, oh, no, don't do anything. I'll be fine. It'll pass. Or I'd try to like make it out of the theater to the lobby.
Keep enjoying this new Jason Bourne movie.
Well, exactly. Like, can you imagine like being that person who the movie has to stop and the lights come up because you're fucking selfishly having a heart attack? Like, that's the way my brain works. And I'd be like, oh, no, it's fine. It's fine.
Boo, you're ruining The Last Jedi for us, you dick.
Oh, man. I would hate to die during a Star Wars movie.
Yeah,
I
want to
see how it ends.
All right.
LL Cool J, not so cool.
Oh, shit.
Hey, gang. I've been listening to your show for about a year now. Where the fuck have you been? It's been 7.
Yeah, come on, buddy. Get it together.
No. You can't do that to the new ones, man. You'll scare them off.
Oh, thank you so much for listening.
No, we actually do appreciate it.
No, yes.
I love the new guys and the new gals that come in. He's like, oh, I've been listening. I've been burning through the back catalogs. There's a lot of back catalogs to burn through.
Yes, please listen to them all.
For about a year now, and I've made my way through the back catalog. I noticed LL Cool J has made a few appearances on your show, from SWAT to Deep Blue Sea to Halloween H2O. I thought I'd share my...
Did we do Halloween H2O as an episode?
No, we didn't.
What did we do? We did something, right?
Did we rank the Halloween movies?
We ranked the Halloween movies we probably talked about.
Are you sure we didn't do H2O?
Yeah, I'm positive we didn't do
H2O. We did the curse of Michael Myers.
We did Resurrection.
Yes.
Oh, we did do Resurrection as an episode?
No, we didn't do Resurrection either.
Whatever.
We did the Curse of Michael
Myers. We watched those movies last year. We do have to go.
Right.
Both of those are Stay Tuned, by the way.
Absolutely.
So this guy will be right eventually. I thought I'd share my story with my brief brush with this celeb.
Ooh.
I like where this is going. I just recently got out of the Marines.
Oh, man. You had to have a buffer seat, buddy.
Sorry, LL Cool J, this is my popcorn seat.
Hey, come on, man, just move over.
It's a movie premiere. I'm in the movie. Could you just please move over?
I'm watching this with my son. Popcorn.
All right.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Would
have been trying to say, you baboons throwing stuff out there about popcorn.
Thank you for your popcorn.
Anyway,
that's what you should say at the movies going forward.
Every usher, salute them and say, thank you for your popcorn.
Just like that, man.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Movie patriotism.
I was a trumpet player in one of the ten bands.
Ooh.
Every year, the base held a huge 4th of July celebration where a celebrity came and performed after the Marine rock band. In 2014, LL Cool J was a celebrity. I was slotted to play the Evening Colors, a bugle call, and at a sunset just before Mr. Cool J. The rock band and I were waiting in a green room, and we were told to leave because in order to get his private room, Mr. Cool J had to walk through the green room and didn't want to deal with us.
Ugh.
Not that big of a deal. Obviously, we were annoyed, but it didn't end there. After the rock band played and got off stage, it was just Mr. Cool J and myself. This performance, for reference, was an outside gig, and the audience was about 3,000 strong.
I like that.
Needless to say, I was a bit nervous. I was announced, and I was about to walk on stage when I heard a, "Hey, kid." And I turned around, it was LL Cool J motioning me over to him. Maybe he was offering some stage performer's advice. Maybe some good vibes. It wasn't. "Don't fuck this up. Got it?" he says.
Ugh.
Before I could respond, I was being rushed on stage with thousands of people. By the grace of whatever the gods you believe in, I made it through the bugle call without fucking it up. As I went backstage to give LL Cool J a piece of my mind, his very wide 6'6"-ish bodyguard stepped in front of me and said, "Do you have something to say to my boss?" I weighed all possible scenarios, each of which ending with me getting my ass kicked or forcefully removed. "I hope he has a great show," I said, with all the sarcasm I could muster. I'm sorry, I'll take that again then.
Yeah, I was going to say, so you got to do that over.
"I hope he has a great show." Man, sarcasm never works, doesn't it?
No.
It's just like, you're always like, "Oh, yeah, this is awesome." And everyone's like, "I don't care."
It's so annoying.
"Thanks for your help." And the waiter's like, "Yeah, you're welcome. Bye."
"Yeah, this food was great.
So I'm seeing this movie with my son."
LL Cool J, wherever you are, go fuck yourself. What's the oddest brush with a celebrity you ever had? I will, Derek, by the way, and thank you for your service, obviously.
By the way, first of all, yeah, fucking eat a dog's ass, LL Cool J, that you're fucking talking to a Marine like this.
Allegedly.
This
guy might have an axe to grind.
I will say, I have a good LL Cool J story.
What?
I don't.
Deepest bluest.
Wait, you don't?
My sister does. She was, I'm trying to remember the story now. No, she was actually just waiting for a bus on the street, and LL Cool J was walking by. And
sure.
She was like, "Oh, fuck, it's LL Cool J in Manhattan." And he stopped, and it was apparently the nicest guy in the world. He took pictures with her. They talked for a while. It was very nice.
Yeah.
She had nothing but good things to say about LL Cool J, and it's a hilarious picture because he's a really big dude.
Here's the difference. One was a Marine about to play a show with LL Cool J.
Sure.
The other one is a pretty lady.
Sure.
Is the problem.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
Yeah, it's not shocking to me that this dude would be a dick to another dude. You know what I mean?
All I know, I've heard nothing but good things about Mr. Cool James.
Mr. Cool James.
Did he tell you to call him that?
No. Odd brushes with celebrities, anybody?
I don't know. A lot of folks like come through where I work, and it's, you know, I try not to do those.
Yeah.
But I will say, I don't care about this one. Edward Norton was not kind.
Oh, really?
That dude was kind of a big jerk.
Allegedly.
And he literally was a big jerk. And it was annoying, and I felt really bad about it because I like Edward Norton in movies, and maybe he was just having a bad day. I don't know. I will say, I believe I've told this before, but I told it, I believe, on the Dracula 2000 episode. I was in a Virgin Megastore one time, and I was browsing CDs, and a bodyguard came up to me and kicked me out of the aisle because Limp Bizkit's Fred Durst was trying to shop. And it was amazing because I was like, why the fuck can't this hurly, backwards hat-wearing asshole Being a fucking shopping aisle with a plebe? I couldn't believe it. I was like, first of all, you rap rock piece of shit, this is a huge aisle.
All I do when I think about that story is, man, I love that Virgin Megastore. Union Square was a great one.
It was the Times Square one.
Oh, even worse.
Which is gone. Which is gone. They're all gone.
They're all gone.
There used to be a movie theater in the basement.
Yeah. Yep.
What a porno theater. Welcome to the Times Square basement.
Ooh, adults only.
Squish, squish, squish.
Yeah, I don't know. So, like, also, I guess in that instance, like, Fred Durst wasn't directly being a jerk. Maybe this dude was overemphasizing, like, the power that he had.
Could have been the security guy. Who knows?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I got, I mean, we've told the story of me getting punched in the back by Al Franken.
Oh, right. Did we tell the story?
I don't think so.
We were drinking at the IFC Center.
Yes.
And this was, we were just, I was there with you. Was anyone else there? Were you guys there?
Victor was there.
I was one of those, I arrived after the fact that it was one of those, like, so, you're not going to believe this.
I was getting so fucked up.
Now, for the younger listeners in New York City, back in the day.
I would say for every listener, because no one knows this.
Well, the IFC.
One of eight people that drank.
So there. Al Franken used to be on SNL.
Let's start there. Stuart Smalley. No, the IFC Center is a movie theater in Lower Manhattan that when it reopened a few years back, like maybe 10 years ago, older than that.
Yeah,
they had like a cool little like bar area thing,
and
we had a friend who worked there, and we went there and drank for free all the time, and just tipped him, and that was the end of it. And then it went out of business, and they turned it into two extra theaters.
Which probably makes more sense. So economically.
We were drinking crazy that night. And Al Franken was having a screening of, I think it was
God Speaks,
the D.A. Pennebaker film.
That
right.
One.
And you know, it was kind of assumed that everyone there had seen the film, and we were just there just getting drunk.
Yeah.
And he came up behind cabin and he like fell over himself and like
slammed
he like cascaded over Chris Cabin. Al Franken, now senator. Laying up and over Chris Cabin. And it was a great moment. And
so
he
tripped, is what we're saying.
Right, yeah. And his family was there and he's talking to them. He's just like, just go, I'll meet you up. And then, yeah. Did he say anything else to you?
Mr. Cabin.
He said, sorry,
you?
He slammed my back.
Yeah, yeah. The slam back. And then he was walking away and I was like, I'm not letting Al Franken get away. I approached him and I was just acting like I had seen the movie and I was like, oh, it was so good, Mr. Franken. And I shook his hands. It was a sturdy little handshake
I was drunk strength.
He was like calloused hands. Very nice. And,
well, can you imagine? I mean, you're Al Franken, right? Yes. You're a senator. You're in Minnesota, right? And you're you're kicking ass.
You think he ever got... You think Jesse the Body Ventura ever brought him into his own? All right, Franken, you're flying off the handle too much.
This is getting a little out of control here with this legislation you're trying to pass.
It's not Saturday Night Live. There's not going to be any fun cue cards.
That's it, Franken. Arm wrestling time. On the desk. You want me to sign off on this bill? You're going to have to beat me at fucking arm wrestling, buddy. Here we go.
I think there was like 10 years apart.
Yeah, I don't think they cross paths. But my point is, how cool is it? Like, you're working in government. You have to be whatever. But then you're back in New York City. Your old SNL stomping ground. Of course you're getting shit-faced, man. He's acting like it's 1985, guaranteed.
Oh, sure.
And it was awesome.
Jeff Goldblum also called me young man once.
Oh, really?
That's cool.
You know, he was holding the door open for me and said, there you go, young man.
You know, another Chris Cabin story with you as I
Wait, Jeff Goldblum held the door for you?
Yes.
Did he think you were somebody else?
First of all, could Jeff Goldblum get any sexier? The answer is no. The answer is no.
I was dumbstruck. I just looked at him dreamy-eyed.
Yeah,
he was
course.
Like, door.
I was once in the restroom line with New York Times film critic A.O. Scott.
Oh, yeah.
He then, you know, we were waiting for a while for the men's room, and then he just murmured to me, just use the ladies' room. So I did.
That's an awkward situation. If somebody tells you what to do, celebrity, you're like, all right, Mr. Celebrity, I guess I will.
Guess I'll just do this. That's funny.
All right.
This is, I think, I mean, we've been doing the mailbag show for a number of years now. This is my favorite fucking subject line of all time.
Yeah, it's a pretty one. Is there a cheeseburger in my ass?
I love it. I love it.
Alternative reading. Is there a cheeseburger in my ass?
Yeah, that's how I've been reading it, actually.
Okay. Hey, guys, love the show.
Yep.
I work in neuroscience laboratory, and your show has become a distinct talking point throughout the day.
Dude, they're talking about us in the
lab. With me and my coworkers.
Wow. Well, thank you for your service.
Lab chat.
Name a neuroscience thing after me. Like a disease.
Yeah. Oh, like a, oh, yeah, like,
like,
oh,
a
right.
stroke. Like a very specific stroke.
The Sadac worm.
Yes.
Oh, the Sadac worm, man. You don't want to get that. You shrink 6 inches and lose your eyesight.
It just makes you feel like you haven't showered for 2 weeks.
Oh, Steve bathes.
Usually.
I've lived with him. Steve bathes.
And anyway, your recent 300 episode and the talk of McDonald's down your pants reminded me of a similar situation I found myself back in 2008. I was a senior in high school, and my mom went over to her boyfriend's house for the night. And
you know what was going on there?
Jesus.
No, I don't. They might have been waiting for marriage. Would you stop it?
All right, I'm sorry.
Nice companionship. How about that?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, you're right.
So my awesome friend's sarcasm.
Oh, jeez. I hope the friends
okay,
aren't listening.
So my awesome friends.
Thank you.
Invited themselves over for a night of drinking.
I like that.
Not bad. We decided we would play a movie drinking game, and since the movie Wanted had just come out on DVD, it was off to the Glorious Town Blockbuster.
Oh, man, Wanted. Simpler time.
It is such a time. Oh, but it's such a bad movie.
It is bad.
On our way out, we decided it would be a good idea to grab some food now since we wouldn't be able to drive later.
You know what? That is responsible planning. Sure. Ahead. I like hearing that.
As luck would have it, we passed by a McDonald's and decided to order a ton of shit, literally, of the dollar menu.
What do you mean, as luck would have it? You're in America. There's a fucking McDonald's on every corner.
And there will always be.
These golden arches will always cascade down on me. Wait, am I talking about piss or McDonald's?
Two McDonald's in every driveway.
Well, to be fair, we don't know when this episode will come out. He might not be president anymore.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. R.I.P.D.
No, he will be forever.
I haven't checked Twitter.
He might be forever.
Dollar menu. Let's keep going.
We got back to my place and began the movie. After a few beers, it was someone's bright idea to switch to shots of Bacardi.
Oh, fuck. What the fuck was the rules of this game?
Bad idea.
Never switch to shots of anything, specifically Bacardi.
Never, ever.
I can't do shots anymore.
Rum in general.
I'm a grown-ass man.
I can't do it.
Order me a whiskey. I will drink that whiskey. I'll sip it, and I'll have a great time.
If I do a shot, I'll throw up in your face immediately.
I'll do a shot, but that's it. Like, I'm not going to do many shots.
Yeah. You ever try to do a power hour?
What's that?
Oh, what? Dude, we should do a power hour and record it.
That's a good idea.
What is this?
A power hour is when you sit around in a room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, I'm way ahead of you.
And you take a sip of beer every minute for an hour.
We could do that.
No, see, you think you can.
That's called podcasting.
I've been consuming alcohol the whole night, but I'm just sipping as we go. This is a very strict, every 60 seconds, you take a big swig of beers.
Yeah.
And
it sneaks up on you.
Yeah. Oh.
Interesting.
Oh, Lord.
We should record that for Patreon.
Well, ironically, that's how I met my wife, was getting drunk at a power hour.
I was there.
Yeah.
You know what we should do, actually?
I wasn't invited.
And maybe delete this from it. We should do a commentary.
Yes, on the
where
power
the first
hour.
60 minutes is a power hour.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. I think I'll leave that in the recording so that the public can hold us to it.
That's a good idea.
Okay, we're only 33 years old, so we're definitely young enough to do this.
Yeah.
We Hate Movies found dead.
Yeah, I'm 34.
Vomiting everywhere.
All right, yeah, I'm sorry, you go.
Okay, shots of Bacardi. An idea which was about as bad as the movie Wanted.
Yeah,
itself.
The idea is worse than the movie, but I get what you're saying.
Since I was not accustomed to drinking as much as the rest of the gang, I passed out about halfway through the movie, I woke up the next morning in full hangover mode.
As you would.
Oh. Or possibly still drunk.
Definitely
as you would.
A little bit of both.
Yep. Yeah, that's
always actually the worst of all situations. When you still have to wait for the drunk to end for the hangover to begin.
I still feel like shit, but I'm just waiting to also feel like shit.
And you're just like, you're heating up. Like, you feel like you're baking.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
I'm on fire.
I'm on fucking fire, man.
Just
exactly.
Like sweat pooling up
and
everywhere.
And you're like waiting for those hangovers to start, and you just get on a Ferris wheel.
The deafening sound of the DVD menu and animation curving bullets playing over and over again.
Ugh.
As I set up off the floor to turn it off, I felt something squishy in my pants.
Oh, no.
I thought, Jesus Christ, I finally did it. I shit my pants.
I shit my pants.
David Letterman laughed. That deserved it.
To figure out how bad my situation was, I decided to not make a run for the bathroom, but instead rock back and forth to feel it out.
What? First of all, you stand up, uh-huh. And you want to make sure.
This is an expert talking, by the way.
You want to know what to do after you shit your pants. Ask Dr. Steve.
You don't want to spread the situation any further than That's it needs true. To be. And right. Rocking back and forth.
You're just creaming your drawers.
Yeah, you're just. Yeah,
you're, so
just,
you're fucking kneading the dough. That's disgusting. All right. Feeling it out, Kevin. Right, continue. Oh,
feel it the fuck out.
I started to realize, though, it wasn't a shit.
Oh.
Instead, what? I reached down my pants and yelled to my friend, who had just woken up, is there a cheeseburger in my ass?
Oh, no.
Hey-o.
Speaking of, never mind.
What a waste of a cheeseburger.
Unfortunately, there was not a cheeseburger down my pants, but three cheeseburgers.
Oh.
To this day, I honestly believe shitting my pants would have been a bit easier to process than why and how my friends shoved three McDonald's cheeseburgers down my pants.
Yeah.
The only reason I could think of is they wanted them to stay warmed up for a hangover breakfast.
No, that's disgusting.
Oh,
that would just be so awful.
That's disgusting. You don't want to eat ass burgers.
No.
The next morning, which may have been the initial idea since two of the three were still wrapped.
Oh, man, just put them in the fridge.
I'm just trying to hold back the vomit here.
Shane from Philadelphia.
Well, thanks for your email, Shane. I hope that's working out for you.
I hope nobody ate those hamburgers.
I drunkenly gave myself food poisoning once.
What?
Oh, this is great.
Friends, I went out to Chicago like 7 years ago to celebrate my birthday with some of our Chicago friends, and they were generous enough. And we were getting older. It wasn't like, we're not just going out getting drunk. We're going to take you out to a nice dinner first.
And then we're going to get fucking ripped.
Exactly. We were old enough to not do that, but not old enough to not do that.
These are our friends, Chicagoland listeners, who run the Lincoln Loft. Check them out in Chicago.
It's a great theater, wonderful theater. We perform there. It's awesome. Very gregariously took me out to a nice dinner. I got lobster ravioli. I was like, oh, this is delicious.
Oh, man.
Anyways, oh, my goodness. It was too much for me to finish. So I left it in my friend's car, and then we got shit-ass wasted.
Sure.
And so drunk, I brought it up to his apartment, and I was like, oh, man, I got the midnight munchies. And mm-hmm. I ate this lobster ravioli, which was sitting in the back of a car for about 3.5 hours.
Oh, no.
On a balmy, an unseasonably balmy October night.
Oh, that's awful.
And I just woke up with the absolute worst food poisoning I ever had in my life. Oh, and I wished I was dead. I read most of the All-Star Batman from Frank Miller.
Oh, well, at least it wasn't all a waste.
Eric Siska, this next email is perfect for you.
The quest for sleaze, staying up for HBO late night. Hiya, gang. This is Matt in actual Colorado.
Oh, show off.
I don't know what
Astoria, Queens is in Colorado. Look it up.
It is. Yeah, seriously. It's around Denver and Boulder.
Den Boulder.
Eric's admission that his totally progressive folks were totally cool with him watching the Playboy Channel reminded me of an unspoken but very real struggle between me and my father and myself in my quest to watch blurry HBO late night programming. In the heyday of shows like Taxi Cab Confessions and Real Sex,
I watched it there.
Oh man, I've watched so much Taxi Cab Confessions. Right.
Oh, like, totally.
I've watched so much Real Sex.
Oh my god!
Yeah. My god,
so you're you're just taking this cab to go on a night of sleazy sex, huh?
So you're swingers?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we. Fuck
are you
each
swingers?
Other. Yeah, we fuck each other. Oh wow, that'd be fucking.
Do you fuck dolls?
Yeah. Oh, you fuck dolls? Great. $7.50
Because it's always that, or it's like somebody really drunk, and it's like, oh, great. Hey, man, you cool? Yeah, I'm fine. Awesome. That's 9 minutes of that. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a slow night on Taxi Cab Confessions.
Well, he signed the release.
You know what my Taxi Cab Confession is? turn left here.
My taxi cab confession is, what is that? I have these headphones on so I purposely don't have to fucking talk to you.
No, that is not a cheeseburger in my ass. I was maybe 12 or 13, and we technically had cable, even though it was basic cable as it gets, local channels, home shopping, and TBS, but not TNT. What?
That's a crime.
That is a crime.
Oh, that was during the Turner Civil War. Oh, right. It was bloody.
That's right. That's both. Yeah, that's weird. Through some fluke of signal leak I never questioned, we were able to get fuzzy Showtime, blurry MTV, and warped but very watchable by the standards of a pre-internet adolescent HBO.
I love the idea of very watchable. Yep. I've been there.
Very quickly, I realized that after a certain time, repeats of Arliss showings and showings of Tremor gave way to the dirtiest sleaze.
Yeah, that was the thing with 90s HBO, yeah, man. You just had to sit through fucking Arliss. If you could get through Arliss, the pornography was right around
Robert
the corner.
Wool was the boatman to Boner Town. <It's true. laughs> He really was.
Across the river Styx, that is Arliss, and then you fucking entered into a beautiful field of pornos.
Oh, hey there, 13-year-old boy. You want to jerk off? You got to get through me.
You have to start caring about sports management. Aha!
And laugh at the same time.
Surely tamed by today's standards, then to a 13-year-old Matt, it was mind-blowing. Given that I didn't have a TV in my room, I had to silently gawk at weirdos masturbating on mountaintops and middle-aged women eating vanilla frosting off one another in L.A. swingers bars.
Ooh.
And keep my finger firmly pressed on the last channel button of the remote.
Yeah.
Man, I remember the fucking days of fucking surfing last channel buttons, dude.
Yep,
just
totally.
Always having it ready. You're like, whatever you're watching, dude, the entire time you're just sitting on that, your
dude,
fingers on the button.
Dude, I was like the gunslinger at the OK Corral, man. Fucking fastest draw in the West.
So this guy was smart enough to do his last channel button with DS9 rerun.
Nice.
Because that is you want to fucking kill a boner, put on DS9.
Real quick.
My dad, thinker that he is, got wise to my scheme and started staying up later and later on weekend nights to watch Trek reruns and whatever Drek was on TBS at midnight.
Oh, that stinks.
From then on, ours was a battle of stamina. My dad would say, "Getting tired, Matt? You should go to bed." And I would reply, "Huh? No, I really want to finish You Only Live Twice for the fifth time in 2 weeks." God.
I think Dad was trying to get in on it, but like I think he
it
wanted
was his jerk time.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it was like, who's gonna,
I wish this kid would go to bed so I could masturbate.
Right. I mean, I'm sure that's most parents' thoughts.
Exactly.
I would, wait, let me see where I was here. Sometimes I would doze off and give up, and sometimes my dad would be the one to nod off and surrender.
Wow, it's like a standoff.
Most of the time, though, we'd both manage to stay, I don't know, where is this going? We both managed to stay up past the HBO smut block and trundle off into our rooms, doffing our caps in silent recognition of respective commitments, mind to what? Watch blurry, wobbly sex freaks waggling appendages at one another while popping balloons.
I think I remember that episode.
To quietly apply good parenting. Then we got AOL.
Not sex freaks. Balloons are balloons, man.
Are you a ballooner, Steve?
No, I'm not
is
a ballooner, but I'm just, I don't like
us?
To sit on a high horse. Wait, and say, call people freaks.
You blow?
I do.
Okay, I'm hoping this stimulates conversation about times you all battled your parents for sleaze as teens. As always, thank you for the hilarity, Matt. Well, Matt, thank you for your email, and thank you for your service in jacking off at night.
There was one time I definitely had that finger on the old last channel button, and, things were what they were. I was getting some viewing time in and whatnot, and sure. Then out of nowhere, my mom wakes up. This is the middle of the night.
Oh, that's against the rules.
And now here was the problem. We definitely had a broken remote.
Oh, fuck.
In where?
You got to check the batteries first.
Well, no. Speaking of the batteries, dude, the back of the remote was broken. So you couldn't put it in. So it just always fell off. So those batteries were just exposed, right? I got so spooked by her coming around the corner, I dropped the remote control. Not only did I drop the remote control, then the batteries fell out.
Wow.
And it was just a whole situation of me pathetically trying to crawl to the cable box to switch the channel manually. Thank God she didn't have her glasses on.
Well, thankfully you had a third leg to get over there faster.
I will say,
I wish.
God bless the old analog days, because if not, you would be fucked, because now cable boxes are little pods. You know what I mean?
There's nothing. I can't push a button on my Roku.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that's true. Never thought about it. Chris, how about you jerking off at night?
I think.
Speaking of night terrors.
I had like a lot of tapes. Like,
I've had tapes
yeah, of like films. It's all snuff films.
All right, here we go. Last.
I like the idea that story ended where it did. Was I had a lot of tapes.
I had a lot of tapes.
And then, like, period on the
Because everybody gets it. Yeah, everybody gets it.
End of story.
So here we go to wrap up the evening here. My tangential 300 story. Hi, guys. I've been listening to your podcast since I heard the Every Which Way But Loose episode and became hooked.
I'm breaking in with a story from the last thing. On tapes. Oh,
yeah.
A friend of mine's dad was a meticulous VHS labeler.
Oh, sure.
So he would label like it was Fight Club. Mm-hmm. And he would write Fight Club starring Edward Norton and Brad Pitt.
Jesus Christ.
Or Crimson Tide with Gene Hackman and Denzel Washington.
Or Sex Tape starring that girl.
Well, no. When you peeled back two or three layers of these labeled VHS tapes, it was like Busty Cops 3 starring Marie St. Clair.
Dude, you can't tape over Busty Cops 3. That was the best one.
And like whomever, like he would label the softcore.
The porn stars?
The softcore pornography that he was
doing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So
it was just softcore though?
I mean, yeah, it looked that way.
Was it the actual title?
Yeah, no, it was. He would meticulously just to know which was which. And like he was a big like time code guy too.
Oh,
like
shit.
What?
Yeah, where you're where like,
you so if there like, was more than one on the
yes,
tape.
Yes, exactly. Like would, from this to 91.
Well, oh shit, he's taping on extended play mode,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, dude,
that's gonna lower the quality of that softcore pornography.
Extended play, dude. Let's see if I can go for the whole tape. 6 hours.
Oh, this tape, you won't even last 6 seconds.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, gross indeed.
All right. I've been listening to your podcast since I heard the Every Which Way But Loose episode and became hooked. Thank you for all the laughs. You're very welcome. Your recent episode on 300 brought to mind a story I can, at least now in hindsight, laugh about for the most part. Years ago, I had my very first girlfriend and she
came... And last...
Jesus Christ.
No, probably not.
You don't know that.
I don't. And she came from a religious family. With us being in South Texas, this is a real fire and brimstone kind of religious.
Yikes.
At the time, I also had a best friend who I'll call T. T and I hung out almost every day and told each other everything. On one of these days, he insisted we had to watch 300, which had recently come out on DVD.
Yeah.
I fell asleep watching it, no kidding. And once the movie was over, he got somewhat upset after I told him I didn't like the movie. Whatever, dude. Now being that T and I were such good friends, when my girlfriend, who had been seeing for a bit at this point, and I finally had sex for the first time, naturally I told him. He congratulated me and all seemed well until the very next day. I got a call the next day from my girlfriend's mother informing me that she had learned I'd had sex with her daughter.
What?
And she was furious. After I escaped that phone call, I rushed to my friend's house where he informed me that, of course, he'd looked up the number of my girlfriend's mother and had called her to tell her to, and I quote, make sure we were being safe.
Wow.
That is a dick move, man.
I promptly told him to go fuck himself and left. We never spoke again. The last time I saw T was at a gathering of mutual friends. I thought they were going to say gathering of the juggalos. Ran into T at the gathering, brother.
You're like, oh, is that you, T?
He was spraying everyone with Faygo. And I said,
he was slugging Faygo, man.
Slugging Faygo.
Slugging grape Faygo.
Gathering of mutual friends where they all told him that that was a fucked up thing to do and cold shouldered him for the rest of the night. To this day, I always think of T in that story whenever 300 comes up, and sometimes I wonder if he did it to get back at me for not liking his terrible movie.
He did it to get back at you for not liking him.
Yeah.
Right?
There you go.
I mean, come
that's,
on.
That's,
right?
That's possible.
Right? Anyway, right? At least now I can laugh about the whole thing. Love the show so much. You guys keep being hilarious. Kylie in Texas.
That's something.
That is something,
that is,
man.
Really something.
That's fucked up. Is
I don't
what
know,
it is.
Man. Like, you don't.
But
do
why
that.
Would you? Yeah. But the thing yeah. is, like, why would you do that? Why
over
would
a
you
movie?
Try to sab-
man.
Do you, but is it over a movie?
Yeah.
Or
well,
is
that, I mean, that's
that,
you know, that's the thing. It seems like there was something else going on.
Kylie, we're
going
to need to know everything about your life. Every little, every detail.
But TikTok. I don't know. At the same time, dude, people were mad for that movie.
That's very
they were.
True.
Yes.
People get mad for movies, man. There's a fucking grown-ass man who told me Avatar changed his life.
What?
So what the fuck are
was
you going to
do? Was that James Cameron you were talking about?
Yeah, maybe
I,
a billionaire.
I decided I'll stop making good movies. I want to keep making all these movies forever.
That movie took 7 years of my life.
No, it's amazing to have to look a grown man in the face and not laugh when he says Avatar changed his life. Right to you.
Well, I pretend I don't know what that... I just pretend I didn't hear it. Oh, what was that?
Yeah. Oh, just keep walking.
Okay.
How about them giants? Talk to you later.
Yeah, I like Avalon, too.
Avalon.
Oh, with, I don't, with Armin Mueller
yes.
Stahl?
Yes.
Stahl, right?
Armin Mueller Stahl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. Deep pull.
He's
yeah.
great in the 13th floor.
Oh, is he in that?
Yeah, he is.
You know, he's in... God, what is he? He's in... With that Michael Douglas. What movie is that?
The Game...
He is in the game, yeah.
Is it the game?
Yeah.
Is it
where Michael
like,
Caine is not
oh,
in the game.
It might,
Armin Mueller Stahl is
Michael
in the game.
Caine. No. Michael Douglas, sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, he definitely said Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said Michael Caine.
Maybe, who knows? It's getting late.
No, that's why he said Michael Douglas, and that's why I then said the game.
There's a scene where Michael Douglas goes into Armin Mueller Stahl's
oh,
office.
Yep.
And he's just like, and it's like a takeover or something, and he's like, there's no Bear Grant without, you know, there's no Bear Grant publishing without Anson Bear or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever his fucking name was. And Michael Douglas is like, well, then where's Grant? And, you know, they're out sailing, man. Where are you? You're just waiting. You're sitting here. Anyway.
Well, no, the best part of that movie is when he breaks into Armin Mueller Stahl. He's having, like, lunch with his dog. Because he's like, retire, Armin Mueller Stahl.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's having, like, lunch with his daughter and his wife. And he's like, well, I'm retiring. And he thinks he's behind the game. So he has this, like, this suitcase full of pictures of him having sex with yes, Deborah Kerr yes. Unger. He's like, you think this is going to make me back off the deal? You can have me with nipple rings, fucking Captain Kangaroo, and I'm not going to do it. He's like, what are you talking about? I wanted to retire. This is my wife and my daughter.
Are you confusing me with Udo Kier?
That happens a lot. I'm not like a... I'm a really nice guy. I'm Armin Mueller's dog.
I mean, I guess in that regard, you know, what T did wasn't that bad.
No.
That's WHM Mailbag for the month of May, everybody. If you want your weird stories read on the air, or if you have questions for us that we can embarrassingly answer for you, write it in the mailbag. weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.